can't wait to get back on the road again. Back again.
Dude.
Like for the baggers.
Back home again.
Back home again.
In
Indiana land.
We've got our first episode of the Circle City Wiffle Ball team previews coming at you. We really plan to do two episodes or two teams per episode and run these episodes right up to our opening day, which is scheduled currently for May 17th, a Sunday. But as all of you are pretty well aware, we've got a lot of issues at hand for the next couple of months with the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's talk a little bit about that right now. As I have discussed with a few commissioners from around the country, it's pretty uncertain what to do right now, given the pandemic and given the, you know, the shutdowns and the stay-at-home orders. So as a wiffle ball league that is pretty insignificant given, you know, compared to other operations in the country, this is, you know, something that, you know, we're in a weird spot because at the same time, wiffle ball is, you know, we consider it essential. It's something that the guys can get out there, get their minds off things, and really just escape reality. So for wiffle ball to be in jeopardy is a pretty serious issue for most of us. And it's something that we're all taking very seriously. But at the same time, we've got to understand that we're kind of at the mercy at the, you know, at the mercy of the orders of the government, the national government, our local governments, and we've got to listen to those things. We've got to be smart and we've got to be logical and rational about this whole situation. So I can't sit here and tell you, hey, Circle City Wiffle Ball is going to start on time. We don't care about this, you know, pandemic, you know, I can't tell you that, but and at the same time, I can't sit here and say Circle City Wiffle Ball is not going to open up on May 17th. What I can tell you is that we are very aware of the situation. We're constantly preparing for it and talking about it and trying to figure out ways that we can get the Circle City Wiffle Ball season in. If it has to open up in August and we got to run through October, we'll do it. I think Circle City, we're lucky we've got a group of guys that are very flexible, that are all, you know, pretty go with the flow. They live in the area. And but again, it's something that I can't sit here and give you a definitive answer on. And all the commissioners in the country are in that same boat. So I'm going to throw out a date. I think I'd like to have at least some concrete information to our league members and interested in Circle City Wiffle Ball by the beginning of May, which would put us right about 2 weeks before opening day. Our scheduling, we tend to schedule games 2 weeks out. So if we can get some clarification from, you know, either the president or the governor and go from there, well, you know, we're just going to figure this out week by week, day by day. I'm not going to give you a definitive answer because that's just, it's not in our best interest right now. We don't want to promise an opening day or we don't want to go ahead and cancel too far in advance. So as of right now, you know, we're just kind of playing it week by week and we'll go from there. But I'm very hopeful play in December. We're going to make it happen. We've got 8 really good teams that I'm looking forward to seeing on the field this year. And that's what we're getting into right now. Like I mentioned, we've got the first two teams of the 2020 team previews. Tonight I'm bringing you the Outlaws and the Hackers and preview these teams when there's a lot of moving parts or new players on these squads or guys that are coming from other teams. So as the commissioner, I went ahead and I took on the task of doing the preview for these two teams. And I want to say I'm excited about our 7th and 8th teams for Circle City Wiffle Ball. I think they're going to be two very competitive teams, and I'd like to talk a little bit about why I think that. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to start off with the Outlaws, coached by Aaron Rodgers, who's not the quarterback, not the husband of Danica Rodgers, unfortunately for the league. But fortunately for the league, he's the Aaron Rodgers that we know. He's a really good dude. He's very passionate about the game, very passionate about taking on as head coach for the Outlaws. So I'm pumped up about it. This is an expansion team. Aaron Rodgers played for the Crazy Fat Kids last year in 2018. He played in 9 games, batted .312, which is really solid. Hit 2 home runs, and then pitched in 3 games. And he really, you know, kind of proved himself to be a solid pitcher, a guy that could go out there and eat up innings, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to carry you through a game and win a lot of games from what we've seen. The biggest addition for the Outlaws is Alex Gates. He's coming over from the Yakkers. And this is another Cincinnati guy. So Aaron Rodgers and Alex Gates, both are from Cincinnati. They both like the Bengals and Xavier and you know, all those crappy teams. So I think they'll pair very well together and complaining about their football team. But Alex Gates is really going to step in and I think be the star of this team. So he played for the Yakkers for the last 2 seasons. Last year, he went 1-4 on the mound with a respectable 6.9 ERA. Circle City Wiffle Ball had a weird year last year in which ERAs were way up, a little bit due to walks. We bumped the pitch speed up to unlimited, so that messed with guys' minds just a little bit. But he had 26 strikeouts against 39 walks, so he can hold his own on the mound. And, you know, if some of these other guys don't play out, I can see Alex Gates being the ace and really the star for this team. In the last 2 seasons for Alex Gates, he has actually been 14th in RBIs and 16th in home runs at 12. He's played 34 games. The dude seems to just he's a magnet to grand slams. I think I've seen the guy hit 3 or 4 grand slams. So he's a good run producer. He comes through in big situations. I'm excited for his addition to the Outlaws. He's going to be, you know, he's going to step in, be their star. Now, the next 4 guys on this list are guys that Aaron Rodgers are bringing on board. And Aiden Palmer says short shorts are winning the ship this year. Hopefully, Aiden's out there practicing. He needs if the short shorts are going to win, Aiden Palmer's got to hit the board. That's all I got to say. But the next 4 guys on the Outlaws are guys that Aaron Rodgers are bringing in that have never played in the league before. And that's typically what happens with these expansion teams, which is why they struggle so mightily. We've got Jay Wilsey, who Aaron describes as a good fielder and solid plate awareness type of guy, which, in all honesty, is how I would describe a guy for someone who had to go through a full season of the Pork Pistols last year. I'm not looking forward to that. So let's just say Tyler Harnish, I'm just joking. Thomas, if you're watching this. Tyler Harnish, again, a softball guy. Softball, from what I've seen in the past, is typically translated very well to wiffle ball. They're 2 recreational games that stem off of baseball. So a bat and ball game for the Outlaws. Try to bring to the fin at times, and wiffle ball, it comes in hand. So next, we've got Sean Rodgers, which is the brother of Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron describes him as his partner in crime. And it sounds like they've got some wiffle ball background in the family. Aaron showed up. He was a very solid player, so I anticipate Sean being a solid player. But he's only going to be available for triple headers. And then the last player on this roster is Mitch Buice. Again, no CCW experience, but a ringing endorsement from Aaron Rodgers. He described this guy as our would-be ace if he can get him to confirm to show up from week to week. So on your team yet. To be your ace, that's a bit of a concern. So I'll talk about that in a minute. But a lot of times with these, expecting, hey, I'll just show up from week to week and go out and have some fun and drink some beer, and then they get out here and they're kind of blown away with how competitive and how intense most of our players are. So for Aaron Rodgers to have an unconfirmed player as his ace, at the moment is a little concerning, and this roster really is just lacking some depth. So I'm going to go through this and give you the key players right now. I think the key player on this team is a weird answer, but the 4 newbies. One of these guys is going to be the key player. With an expansion team and the new guys you bring in, you've got to hope to hit on at least one of those guys. And by hit, I mean, it's got to be a guy that comes in and is just a really solid laws. And then last year's eight balls brought in Connor Morris, who ended up being a really solid player. A solid player is probably an understatement with Connor Morris. He's a silver slugger, contender each year. But what I'm saying is that these new teams really have to hit on one or two of their new guys in order to be competitive. So Tyler Harness, Sean Rogers, Mitch Buice, or Jay Wilsey, one of these guys has to turn into, try to predict, you know, their win-loss record for the year. I've got them getting swept by the eight balls, the short shorts, and the Yakkers, and then going 1-2 against the rest of the field for a projected regular season record of 4-17. If they could do that, that's about on par with what our eighth team does from year to year. So I'd like to see them do a little better than that. The last thing I want to do for each team is a best case, worst case scenario, which is something that Josh Hart, who does our league preview each year, the hilarious league preview, he'll do the best case, worst case. So best case for the Outlaws is that Alex Gates and Aaron Rodgers continue to improve. And then Aaron gets two of these four newbies to turn in very solid seasons. And this team goes something like 9-12 or 8-13. I don't see this team going 500. I just don't think it can happen. But they're going to push 500. I think that's the very best case scenario. And then the worst case scenario is Aaron Rodgers realizes that coaching a team like Blake Boris realized last year is decently hard, and the pressure of it is difficult. Sorry to throw you under the bus here, Blake. And getting players to the field and getting guys committed is difficult. All of his players bust. Alex Gates loses interest because he's not playing for a World Series contender. And this team goes, 1-20, 2-19, and is just the absolute doormat of the league. I really hope that doesn't happen. I'll talk about that here later. Let's move on to the Hackers. Coached by Eric Stark, this was formerly the Crazy Fat Kids, who went 2-15 in 2019. Daniel Miller drops out. He joins the armed services. Thank you for your service, Dan. And Eric Stark steps in as the coach. He scraps Crazy Fat Kids, says, screw that logo, screw that that team name. I'm going with the Hackers. We've got a hickory and gold color scheme. He's bringing it in hot. So he has created a roster of Holden Palmer, who comes over from the Mid-City Moonshots, Michael Plord, Spencer Schreiner, and a guy I'm really excited about, Kyle Gagliardi from Griffleball League. We are kind of ushering in a new era of combining that Northwest Indiana and the Circle City. Looks like guys are, either their wives and girlfriends are getting jobs here, or they're starting to get jobs here, and they're relocating to Indianapolis, which is, if you've ever seen Griffleball or Leroy play, this is amazing news for Circle City Wiffleball. These are really good guys, and then they're just really good Wiffleball players. So if we can start to incorporate these guys more and more into our league, it's only going to mean positive things. So we really welcome Kyle Gagliardi. Whichever weeks he can show up for, he's going to be a really solid contributor for this team. Let's start with the coach, Eric Stark. He joined the league 2 years ago. Last year turned in a .237 batting average. One trend you're going to notice about this Hackers team is very light hitting team. So Stark hit .237 with two home runs last year, went 2-5 on the mound, which is in Circle City Wiffleball, we don't count errors. We don't count fielder choice. So a poor fielding team is going to reflect very badly on a pitcher's ERA. So 2-5 with a 9.3 ERA, but he struck out 67 versus 50 walks. And a positive strikeout to walk ratio in Circle City Wiffleball is rare. With our new rule change this year, a pitch to hit after a walk, throwing strikes is going to mean a lot. So Eric Stark does that. He puts the ball on the board. He throws strikes, commands multiple pitches, and is a really solid player and a guy I respect and a guy I think with the right defense and the right offense around him can turn in a really good season. A big addition for this team this year, coming over from the Moonshots, he didn't want the home run and six RBIs in the five games that he showed up for. On the mound, he went 1-4, 38 strikeouts, 68 walks, and that was five games. That's something we've got to talk about. The attendance of Holden Palmer is going to play a key role in this, and I'm going to get to that later, and talk a little bit more about Holden Palmer. The other the holdover from the Crazy Fat Kids are the last two roster spots. We got Michael Plourd, who hit 312. He's been in the league for as long as anybody I can remember. He's committed to the league. I love this kid. And he really cares a lot about it. So he's going to show up. And that's you know, when you get down to the third, fourth, and fifth spots of your roster, you're really looking for guys that are going to be there. And they're going to, you know, contribute. If you can get their numbers up to about league average, then you've got a solid roster. So Michael Plourd hit 312 last year, belted three home runs. And he's going to bring a solid third arm to this roster behind Holden Palmer and Eric Stark. And then the last two guys rounding out this roster, Spencer Schreiner. He did well in his first year. And then last year played 13 games, 255 average, two home runs, and then was 13th in the league with the 537 OBP. He's patient. He finds ways to get on base. He's athletic. Like I said, he's everything you want and one of the bottom of your roster guys. And then the guy we're really excited to welcome to the league, there's two other GBL and Leroy holdovers, but from the GBL Rippers is Kyle Gagliardi. And his GBL stats last year were very respectable. He hit 387, fourth in home runs with 17, fourth in RBIs with 43. And then he threw 26 innings, turning into 4.23 ERA, 24 strikeouts, 10 walks. I'm going to be the first one to tell you we have no clue how GBL stats are going to transfer to Circle City Wiffle Ball stats. But this is a league with, you know, incredible talent. They've been second place at the national tournament the past 2 years. So if we can get guys from their roster, from their national roster, that are going to come over to Circle City Wiffle Ball and they're playing against some of the best players in the country, I don't see them having any issue contributing at Circle City Wiffle Ball. So I'm excited for Kyle Gagliardi, excited to see what he's going to bring to the league. Although he describes his availability as he's going to make a few trips to Indianapolis this year. So if Eric Stark can get two or three weekends out of him, I think that's a win. You know, you've got to play well and get wins on those weekends that he's there. But I'm really excited for Kyle Gagliardi. His stats in Griffle Ball, tend to lead me to believe that he's going to be very successful at Circle City Wiffle Ball. Now, the key player, I think, for the Hackers, it's easy to say, oh, the key player is the coach, Eric Stark, or the key player is Michael Plourd, or the key player is the guy coming over from Griffle Ball. I think, personally, the key player is Holden Palmer, their pitcher, and a guy that could be their ace. Let's go back and look at the last, exclude last season. He showed up five times. His work schedule didn't, line up with the wiffle ball. And Blake Voris, who I kind of talked into taking on Holden Palmer, really suffered because of Holden Palmer's hectic work schedule. But strikeouts, 95 strikeouts against 45 walks. That's the year Brian Shaler had the crazy year. And he beat Brian Shaler in strikeouts. And then 2018, just two seasons ago, fourth in strikeouts, had 128 Ks against 110 walks. So prior to 2019, in a league where a positive strikeout to walk ratio is rare, you might get a handful of guys that do that, Holden Palmer had done it three times, and he stayed in the top four in strikeouts all 3 years. I'm going to lean to believe that Holden Palmer is more the pitcher of 2016, 2017, and 2018 than he was the pitcher of 2019, in which I think if he's already, said that his work schedule is going to allow him to be at the dirt yard more often in 2020. If that's true, I think Eric Stark has an absolute steal, and Blake Voris might have lost a top five pitcher in 2020. And ironically, one of the better performers offensively from his team. He's a sneaky hitter. He swings at everything, but he's got power. He hits balls out of the park. And when he's on the board and when he's there consistently, Holden Palmer is a guy that's going to turn in top five Cy Young performances. So that's, on the Outlaws, the key player is one of the newbies. Can they get one of these guys to be a breakout player? And then on the Hackers, the key player, With a solid defense behind him, I can see him breaking top five in ERA. And he can elevate this team. If we're going projections, let's do that. I've got them going 1-2 against a lot of teams, including the short shorts. I've got them getting swept by the eight balls, swept by the moonshots, and then taking 2 out of 3 against the Outlaws. This is a team, they're going to win. I think, you know, their path to winning a game is they hit the board and the other team struggles, which isn't going to happen, you know, all of the games. But if they can, I want them to be able to show up to the field and, you know, the eight balls or the short shorts or the moonshots, they say, you know, this isn't a team we can take lightly. We've got to play hard. We could give us an L and take the one seed from us. So I've got them right now going 6-15 on the year, which is, again, like the Outlaws, on par. I'm a bit of a pessimist with these last two teams. But best case scenario with these teams, Holden Palmer turns into the ace of 2016 through 2018 that we've seen. He helps them take down a couple of the top teams, and they're able to push 500. I think this team, their ceiling is probably right around 11-10, 10-11. And that is if Holden Palmer and Eric Stark really turn in great seasons on the mound. That's if Kyle Gagliardi can get there a maximum amount of times. And that's Eric and Michael and Spencer really turning in good seasons at the plate. They've got to hit right around 300, and they've got to hit more than 2 or 3 home runs each. You can't survive in this league if you aren't, driving the ball out of the park. So, again, the Hackers, I think their floor is probably 4 wins, but their ceiling is around 11 wins, which would be really good for a sixth or seventh place team. Let's move. I just want to talk about, you know, my hope for these two teams, which is, you know, I want to talk some numbers for the past 4 seasons of the last two teams in our league. So in 2016, we moved officially to 8 teams, and we've never looked back. We've gone from 8 to 10 to 8 to 8. And since 2016, moving to 8 teams, our last two teams in the standings for those years have gone. Here we go. 2016, 6-37 combined. 2017, 8-33 combined. 2018, 0-30 combined. And 2019, 7-28 combined. And that was the disappointing Mid-City Moonshots and Crazy Fat Kids. So just to sum that up, over the last 4 years, 1-600. That's a negative 1,059 run differential in 149 games for an average. And that's, you know, that could be a, you know, reflective of my desire to expand to 8 teams. But for Circle City Wiffle Ball, my goal this year in 2020 for the Hackers and the Outlaws, it's for them to just be competitive, to show up to the field. That's our primary goal, is for them to get 3 or 4 players to the field every game night, and then to be competitive. I want them to show up to the field against the eight balls or the short shorts or the moonshots, and for those coaches to not be able to take those teams lightly. Can they say, we've got to put our best pitcher on the mound, we've got to put our best lineup out there, because there's a chance – Holden Palmer or Eric Stark or Aaron Rodgers can get on the mound. They can deal, and they can shut us down and cost us a playoff seed. So that's my hope for these two teams. Again, the last two teams in the standings, they tend to pose a challenge, just in predicting them or previewing them, because there's so many moving pieces. So I wanted to take this on, sort of introduce you to the Outlaws, coached by Aaron Rodgers, and the Hackers, coached by Eric Stark, give you a rundown, give you the expert view from the commissioner's seat. So that's all I've got for you tonight. We, like I said, are moving on to weekly schedules. So next week, I think we've got the Noodlers and the Moonshots. The Moonshots 2019 season was an absolute disaster. They went 5-13, and then the Noodlers stayed afloat. Cody House has shown an incredible ability to, you know, put a positive product on the field. And Rudy Lyon will be hosting that episode. And then we'll be going week by week from then. I think we'll wrap up with a fantasy panel and then a season, just an overall Circle City Wiffle Ball season preview with a whole panel of guys that I think will be, you know, really all I've got for you tonight. I want to, you know, just remind you that Circle City Wiffle Ball is kind of in flux right now. We're just kind of trying to decide where to go from here and what to do. So stay tuned for updates. Like I said, my goal is to really try to give you an update on, you know, our opening day and our season to follow around 2 weeks before the season starts. So look for that around May 1st to May 5th, and we'll go from there. We've got episode 6 coming at you next Friday. Rudy's hosting the Noodlers and the Moonshots. Thank you for tuning in to Dish, the first team preview of the Hackers and the Outlaws.
Okay, well, I forgot back home right again.
Back again.
Dude. Like front of the baggers.
Back home again.
Back home again.
In
Indiana land.